You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, that's good. Anytime you can get 300 yards and no turnovers, that's good. But, you know, sometimes in critical situations, being able to make throws, to keep drives alive, or to score when you're in the red zone, all of those things, if you're not able to do those, then that hurts the momentum of the unit.
Well, yeah, 300 yards and all the stats, they look great. Is Deshaun playing winning football?
I mean, yeah. I would have to say no. I mean, I have to take back what I was talking about as far as how well he's played, because even in the moment, I think, well, that's great and all, but where was all this early in the game when it mattered? No, he's not. He is one of many. He's not the biggest problem, but sometimes he is a problem.
I want to take a look. Well, and it's really not fair because, well, it is him. It's his offense. And points per game right now, you know, they did put up a 36 and a 30. So they actually got over the 25 hump, which is something good for them. But the Texans right now are 23.7 per game. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That puts them at 21st in the league. 21st in the league in scoring. That's bad. Especially with... And here's the deal. Is, you know what? He's actually starting to use Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. Actually, like I thought he was going to use them. They're doing a lot of crossing pattern stuff. You know, they're running free. They're catching some... Will Fuller. Now, they're not able to throw... I mean, everybody seems to be taken away. They're playing... too deep on them, and they're just not able to throw the ball down the field much. I mean, Will Fuller should throw at least two bombs to him every game, right?
That is what he's there for.
That's what he's there for. So Will Fuller should absolutely be catching, you know, or at least loosening up the defense. But this is pretty much, you know what? It's not a bad receiving core. You have no running game. You virtually have zero running game. He is...
Are you sure? Because I see a lot of handing off to David Johnson in key situations on first and second down. Are you sure there's not...
40, another 40-yard game. 14 carries for 42 yards?
Because they give him the ball like they expect things to change.
I know. That's the killer. Is they just keep doing the same? He ran one. It was just, I mean, you would think he could, and it looked like there you could have bounced it outside. He has zero bounce.
Got no juice.
He's got zero juice. 14 carries, 42 yards.
Yeah, I think it was Raheel or tweeted out, dearly departed, that use him in the passing game. 4 catches, 42 yards. That's fine. That's good. Do that. Do you know how other teams line up their running backs and the Texans linebackers and eat that way?
Yeah.
I mean, he and Duke Johnson, now this was in a we got to throw the ball every time to try to come back situation. They combined for 9 catches for 85 yards. That's fine. Do more of that.
That's but okay.
It's not good. No. Look, it's 10 yards a catch for David Johnson, 8.5 for Duke. That's fine from the running back, but do more of that. Stop putting him in the backfield and handing him the football.
Yeah, but you know what? How about something that's breakable every once
he's
in a
not,
while?
He's not. Well, first,
I mean, you see backs like you see.
Oh, you mean good backs?
Kamara,
is what you're saying?
And you see, yeah.
Don't compare him to Kamara.
Yeah, I know. That's silly. But I mean, how about something that's breakable? Even when David Johnson got that one, I mean, he got down to he had one on one at the 2 yard line, and he just goes right down.
I'm looking at
Most every other back in the league, breaks that and puts a move on and or carries him into the end zone or something, and he just goes right down at the 2.
No, we have a good guy. Don't worry about it. he's a great guy. I'm just looking at some of the distribution as far as receptions and targets. Like, yeah, Deshaun spread it around. Randall Cobb, 8 catches, 10 targets. Brandon Cook, 7 with 9 targets. The running backs combined for 9 targets and 9 receptions. Will Fuller only had 3. Did you look at the Green Bay Packers distribution where Aaron Rodgers completed 23 balls and 13 of them went to the Devontae Adams, and the Texans still didn't figure out a way? You know what? The Packers don't have much going for the wide receiver core this game. Let's find a way to take Devontae Adams out of the game. No.
Nope.
No, we're just going to solo him consistently and let Aaron Rodgers find him.
Yeah.
Look at the receivers. Whoever the hell Malik Taylor is caught 2 balls for 6 yards. That's the only other receiver who caught a ball, a wide receiver who caught a ball.
That's unbelievable. I mean, and they just kept – and, well, look who they put on them. Aaron was like, well, they don't have anybody, though. And when Bradley Roby went out, it was over. I mean, well, that wasn't like – it didn't matter.
Stop playing man on Devontae Adams then.
Honestly, Anthony Weaver, I thought – honestly, Jonathan Vilma was like, dude, what are you doing? I wouldn't put – what are you doing putting 23 on 17? You can't put Eric Murray on Devontae Adams. That is just ridiculous. With no help over the top. He's like, this is on Justin Reed. Are you sure? Are you sure he's being coached up? Are you sure? I mean, well, it's got to be on Justin Reed, because if I was him, I'd tell Anthony Weaver, I'm sorry, I'm shading Devontae Adams. Dude's got 10 catches right now, or however many catches he had. And we've got Eric Murray on him.
Yeah, Jonathan Vilma can't believe that Eric Murray would be soloed up on Devontae Adams, so he has to assume that Justin Reed should have been over there.
Yeah.
Because there's no explanation other than it had to be a bust for that to happen. I can't believe you wouldn't. There's not a bigger, particularly when Roby went out, there's not a bigger discrepancy between receiver to DB between Devontae Adams and the Texans DBs. As far as you go down the list, Valdez, Scantling. Okay, put Hargraves on Scantling, Darius Shepherd, Malik Taylor, all these guys. You could find a way to go one-on-one with those guys because they're not great. You're not good either, but they're not great. But Devontae Adams one-on-one consistently, that's the biggest matchup problem that the Packers were causing, and you allowed it to happen over and over again.
Well, honestly, at Jacksonville, I mean, but even still, these corners, I mean, I said we were talking about it last week too, is they just loaded up with Michael Thomas and Eric Murray, and they moved Lonnie Johnson to safety. I mean, they're just loaded for bear at safety.
They're not loaded. They just have bodies. They're not loaded for bear.
Loaded for
Michael
bear.
Michael Thomas is a career special teamer.
They said, here's how you win games. You load up at safety. And you don't worry about that whole cornerback thing.
But you didn't load up a safety. You took backups. Michael Thomas, I watched him. I mean, at Miami, he was a nice special teams player. Eric Murray, the Browns didn't want, and that's following. Who else did they grab for the Browns last year?
Did you block a punt yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Did you recover an onside kick yesterday?
I did not. Special
Michael
teamer.
Michael Thomas did.
Special teamer. I just said that. He's a good special team player.
See?
I don't want him playing consistently
in the
defensive backfield against Aaron Rodgers. Who did the Texans grab last year from the Browns or a couple years ago who stunk? Who barely?
Oh, Gibson. Well, no, Gibson came from
Tampa, right?
Tampa.
But
no,
he had a long
Jacksonville.
He had a hyphen. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they're terrible.
They grabbed back-to-back Colvin and Gibson from Jacksonville.
But it was a hyphened last
name.
Yeah.
No, he was terrible.
Yeah, stop.
I got the scouting report on him. He goes, oh, my God, he can't run. What are you doing?
Stop grabbing Browns backups and paying them.
Yeah.
They did it again.
It's unbelievable. But this is who, because your corners are Hargraves and Gaines. Oh, my God. And this is who you have to put on guys one-on-one because you're playing one-on-one. You have to play zone now every single snap.
Yeah,
you have to.
You know, man is about, you know, you want to make it uncomfortable for the quarterback because that helps your pressure because you hope the pressure gets there. The pressure never gets there.
No.
So why are you isolating your guys?
It was so. Did you see Arizona yesterday? They lined up.
Oh, yeah.
7 guys across, and they just cover 0, and we're coming after you, Russell.
And
guess what? They turned three picks.
And you know what? On one of them, they fooled him.
Yeah.
They fooled Russ, and they fooled the offensive line, where they actually dropped guys.
Isaiah Simmons.
Well, that was the one that led to the field goal. But there are other times where they pretended to rush all out. They dropped guys, and it fooled Russell in that offensive line, and they sacked him on one of the bigger plays of the game. I forgot what situation it was, but it was when the Seahawks are driving. I think it was maybe the first overtime drive for the Seahawks, where they bloated everybody up, and they dropped some interior guys, and there was nowhere to throw the football, and they got a sack out of it. You know, disguising, making, you know, flustering a Pro Bowler potential MVP candidate in Russell Wilson. I mean, and that's from Vance Joseph, who I saw him in Miami. He stunk as the defensive coordinator. Apparently he's learned some things.
Yeah. Well, you know, he finally learned. Russell Wilson had one of the greatest first halves in NFL history.
Well, that's true. 20, and that's with throwing a pick. That would have been another touchdown.
Right. How about how fast DK Metcalf is?
Look, I saw that. Everyone saw the play. But when Buda Baker caught it, you could hear Michaels and Collins were pretty much, I don't know if they voiced it, but it felt like they thought that was going to be a score. It's like,
gone.
I was like, in my head, I said out loud, I saw like this thing, this trailer, and I was like, DK Metcalf is fast AF. I said it out loud. And I was like, and I watched him as he hawked him down. You know, Buda Baker's like, man, this is a touchdown.
Oh, is he going to catch it in film because they won the game? Oh, are they going to get him? Yeah. They're going to destroy him when they watch that
play.
And if
I'm Buda Baker, I'm like, have you seen that dude run? You lucky I got inside the 10.
How about that? How about that dude with pink hair? He's 250, and he runs like a sprinter.
Two nose rings all the while, pink hair, and hawked him down.
You know what? He's not Texan worthy.
Oh, well.
We're
That's
not taking
true.
Any guy with pink hair and two nose rings.
The Texans don't need wide receivers.
I know that he can run like the wind, and he'll go up and get every ball, and he's stronger than Thor. But he's not Texan worthy.
No,
not Texan worthy.
Brandon Cooks is. And Randall. Look, the other thing before we go, because Randall Cobb was playing his favorite his former team, so he was really excited about things. I was like, calm down, Randall Cobb. You're down by two to three scores the entire game. Stop flexing and talking to the sideline.
I know.
You're getting your ass kicked.
Man, I haven't seen JJ so subdued on a tackle for loss when he was walking off the field after a tackle for loss to make them punt. By the way, the defense actually stopped them three straight times.
True.
And the offense did nothing.
Three straight three and outs.
Three straight three and outs. How about that? And the offense did absolutely nothing. But JJ... Well, you want to talk about it. Man, you come back with some JJ sound and get this attitude. Check out this JJ attitude on the other side. Right now, though, well, is he a champion? No. He's on the
Texas. He's an AFC South champion multiple times.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You know what? That's not a champion. You know what champion is? The champion of all. What champion energy is ready for you to just go online and save money every single month. champion.energy/1560 champion.energy/1560 You'll love them for the service, but most of all you'll love them because every month your bill is just going to be lower. And I love Champion Energy. I spit on my bill every month. I'm like, I'm disrespecting you. You're so insignificant, this bill. All right, so I spit on it. But here's the deal. You don't have to be that aggressive, but here's what you can do. What you can do is go to champion.energy/1560 and just feel good about yourself because you're spending less than everybody else is because they're on some dumb electricity plan where they're losing money. champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You could talk about the way Rodgers played today and compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier and when you guys played against him.
He played very well today.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
JJ was salty yesterday now. JJ was salty. JJ, do JJ a favor and get him out of here. Really, do him a favor. And you say, oh, we can't lose JJ. No. Yeah, you can. Yeah, what's the difference if JJ's
He'd
on the team?
He'd probably
not
be grateful.
Yeah. No. You owe it to JJ, actually. I mean, Andre Johnson didn't get out of here till he was already done. And he went to the Colts, and it was just a waste. Give JJ a shot to win a title.
Trade him
to Chicago.
Because
you ain't winning it next year. You ain't winning it the year after. And JJ's going to be about done.
I don't know what Chicago's money situation is like, what their salary cap is like. Trade him to Chicago. I believe his wife, I don't know if they're still in season, the Chicago Red Stars, but Cleo Watt or Cleo High formerly plays for the Chicago Red Stars. Chicago is pseudo contender, even though they don't play well offensively. Trade them there.
Didn't they win their championship or something?
No, they didn't. The Dash actually won the tournament.
Said.
You said no. She plays for the Red Stars.
That's right. She's on
told
another
you.
Team.
Remember all that hullabaloo when you're
no.
when you're. News station didn't mention her name and JJ got after you?
No, I don't remember all that. Mm-hmm. No. Because I just don't. I'm on board. Listen, I'm down with the cause, okay?
Which cause?
The women's soccer cause.
Are you, though?
Yeah, I am. I am married.
Are you, though?
Yes, I'm down with the cause.
I was talking to Mary about something and she gets into these before we get back to JJ trade destinations. She gets into arguments about women's sports in her DMs with people, and it forces her to go do some retail therapy where she buys women's sports gear. like dudes in her comments piss her off. So she goes, you know what? I'm going to support these women's teams. So she winds up buying. I think she told me she wound up buying. Like, apparently there's a women's professional hockey league, and she bought a shirt because she goes, stupid guys. I got to do something.
Well, she's the one that has a Dash shirt. Oh, I was looking for.
Actually, she's not the one because when they won their title, they all sold out. So those shirts went fast.
Oh, they three of them that with the dust on them.
See, this is where
are you though?
Comes from.
I am.
You make these jokes.
I'm down.
No, you're not down. Don't pretend that you are.
I'm down. What does sold out mean, Del?
It means they sold. I don't know how many they had on sale.
What does sold out mean?
They sold all the ones they had, John.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean there's only three of them and
okay,
they're dusty.
If you're the marketing department or you're the owner and the marketing department comes, hey, we want to buy some shirts. Yeah.
What do you mean buy some shirts? Those are printed out by the league.
We want to make – no, you have to make them.
I know, but doesn't the league make them?
So you got to make them. And if I'm the owner, I'm like, I don't want that money just sitting around.
Well, it wasn't sitting around. People bought them.
Well, I know, but you did not – okay, sold out, Del?
Yeah. She went on the website, and they weren't available.
I'm going to tell you, there was a limited amount.
Probably, but they were sold.
Yeah, right. No.
They're not left over. They didn't go to – they didn't all
– okay, but listen.
They didn't go to the
– Before that win, name all the Dash accomplishments.
Well, I told you this. You got upset with me.
Besides having Kalea Ohlone or whatever
her name
is.
It's Kalea Ohlone. Don't be insulting. I told you this, and you got upset. Oh, Chris Kennedy won't be happy about that. when I was talking about how the Dash have been kind of a disaster on the field until up until this point. People are like,
zero yeah, things ever.
I know.
Lives.
I'm aware.
Right.
So I'm sure they took advantage.
I don't have all that many shirts. Okay, I'm
talking about championship shirts. I don't know about their actual products they sell all the time. But she was trying to buy one of those fall championship shirts that they won, and they were no more available. They sold out.
Did they now?
Yes.
So anyway, back to JJ. Carlos Dunlap put his house up for sale.
He got in a fight, right, with his coaches or something?
He got in a fight with the coach on the sideline at the end of the game. Another game that they lost and covered. Another cover loss for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He got into a fight with the coach on the sideline and put this out there. He says, 6,000 square foot city view with huge balcony, 4-bedroom, 4.5-bath, in one of the best school districts for sale. Do your market analysis and make me an offer. Serious inquiries only with proof of funds. Owners willing to sell furnished or unfurnished.
I don't know Carlos Dunlap's situation, like if he has a wife and children. He's apparently in a very good school district. These are the times where your wife would be like, don't do that. Don't be stupid.
Right.
Wouldn't the wife jump in and go, hey, don't put the house up for sale, dummy.
Well, he's been a reserve anyway.
Yeah,
he's not a starter.
That's true.
You know, he's just getting in there sometimes. So he's probably, I've had enough.
I'm sure he has.
I'm done.
Apparently, AJ Green would welcome a trade if they could find a way to get it done. But his contract may make that prohibitive. But the Bengals are, it's weird to say that there's some hope there because of the way Joe Burrow and that young offense is playing, because they have a bunch of young guys. T. Higgins caught a touchdown pass yesterday too, their rookie out of Clemson.
Yep.
But their defense is so bad. And Joe Burrow, when he's not making plays, he's generally getting drilled. So you can feel good and then also be like, man, we suck. Because we can't stop anybody.
No. I mean, how about they get the lead with a couple minutes? How much time was left when Cleveland got the ball?
I'd have to look.
And they just marched down the field. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Bengals. Can Joe do any more? Can Joe do any more than he's doing right now?
It would warm my heart if he sucked just because it would make you upset.
He doesn't, though.
I know. He doesn't. It's just that he had a really good game yesterday. But it's just that they're atrocious defensively, and that's what they're gonna have to attack that in the draft, because and off the line they got a couple situations because he's not gonna survive.
He's getting killed. He is getting killed.
You want to welcome a special guest, John?
Who's our special guest?
Hi, special guest.
Hello,
Gilbert's here.
No,
what's Hello? Going on, John?
Hey, AJ, what's going on?
I was just sitting here with you, you know. Listening to chatter about the Browns Bengals game, and I was like, man, this is what I'm here for.
What happened to the show? The Browns Bengals game is all we got left to talk about.
You know what mattered in the Browns Bengals game? That extra point mattered.
Browns
-3 mattered, and that. I mean, I guess it didn't technically cost me money. It cost me money that I should have won, and I also know a lot of people who had -3.5, and it actually did cost them money.
And to answer your question, John, the Browns got the ball back with 106 remaining and scored in 55 seconds five plays.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how bad that – and Joe's getting killed, and it's just – and yet he's able to bring them back. With 4 minutes left, they scored, and I thought, oh, well. And Joe just drove them down the field, and they scored. And it was like, holy crap, that is awesome. And then he couldn't hold them. It's the Bengals. But if you want to know the truth – I feel, you know what? That was a, see, that's it, AJ. We're talking about this. If you want to know the truth, that was a good football game. That was actually fun to watch.
Oh, it was an entertaining game, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really entertaining game. I don't know that there was, I'm going to look right now, a worse game to watch than the Tech. The Jets and Bills were actually more entertaining.
You didn't see much of it, did you? There's
no.
Six field goals. And
that was a bad game.
No, I watched it. No, I did. Okay. I had the red zone on. I'm keeping up with it, and I'm like,
the Lions Falcons was certainly a better.
Oh my, a way better game, a way better. Browns Bengals. Steelers Titans. The Titans came back, made it the game.
It was
the Saints.
Washington-Dallas was worse.
Oh, right? No, that was worse.
Patriots-Niners was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Jeff Garcia? Jeff Garcia, I guess he's part of the 49ers broadcast team, as at least play after post-game stuff. And he attacked Cam for the way he dressed. He was like, you can't dress that way and play this poorly. It was like this 50-second rant about how poorly he was dressed. And look, you can't dress that way and be this bad.
I will say this, and I always say it about Russell Westbrook and James Harden when they walk in the arena with all their drip, and then they play like ass. It does make it look really foolish.
Yep.
And if you play horrendously and then you show up in the post-game presser and you're dressed like a clown, it doesn't help your cause. It really does.
Let's see. It's at post-game, and it starts with an image of Cam. Someone tweeted out what he looked like coming in. He wasn't even that outlandish for Cam. He had his hat on, but it wasn't like he looked. He didn't have a babushka on.
Okay.
He just looked like.
Okay, I didn't see him after the game, so I don't know.
He looked like a dapper Cam.
But what
crazy.
I would do if I were one of these guys, especially a quarterback, or if I was like a star basketball player like James and Russ, I would have two outfits.
Well,
a winning outfit and a losing outfit.
You speak to that. And Jeff Garcia talked about that.
You go into this game, two touchdowns, four interceptions. You throw, what, three more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and the best that I can.
Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here, okay? This sounds you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Like
and
Joe
I just
Montana.
Feel like...
I mean, Joe Namath.
Yeah.
The coat.
Yeah. When you predict you're going to win a Super Bowl and you go out and do it, wear whatever the hell you want. But you know, right now I'm not buying it, and neither is.
No, and it's true. It is. He's not off. I mean, he does. It's very clownish right now.
It looks bad, I guess, when you don't win, but. This Cam has been dressing like he dressed like that in Carolina.
That's
when he
true.
Was good.
It's always been that
this
way.
Ain't new. It's not
no,
like
no, it's not new. But
so you should
but
change
he was
the way
winning
you,
there.
You should change the way you dress.
But now he's with a storied organization, and he's losing.
I'm telling
and
you,
looking like especially when you're following Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady, look, I'm looking at the image he's commenting on. It's not crazy. It's not like he doesn't look like. He doesn't look crazy. It's just he looks like a guy who has a lot of money and likes to buy clothes. It's not one of those things where, like, he's wearing a capri pants. It's not that.
He's not wearing a Fred Flintstone buffalo hat with horns coming out of it.
That's fine.
You
thought Cam would change the way he dressed when he got there, and we argued that it wasn't going to happen. But he just looks dapper. I'm telling you, for this to be the one that Jeff Garcia is upset about, I'm like, we've all seen worse. It's not that crazy. He just looks like a well-dressed dude. That's all.
So is this proving that it was Brady and not Belichick?
I mean, I think it's a lot more. I think it's a lot more than just Brady. But the Patriots weren't all that great last season either. Right? You could start to see it falling apart then.
Well, they were division champs again.
Well, they were division champs in the AFC East where the Jets and the Dolphins play. I mean,
and they also didn't have multiple players opt out last year.
Yeah,
their roster was better.
They've had a tough deal this year.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, but Bill Belichick, it doesn't matter who he's got.
Yes, it does.
Remember? No, it matters.
It matters.
No. Remember? It doesn't matter. Bill Belichick is going to – he can win no matter what. That's because he's a genius.
Remember when Phil Jackson coached the Kings and they – no. Oh.
The
no.
Knicks? Or was the GM for the Knicks? Yeah. And how did that work
that
out?
Didn't happen. The Kings thing didn't
happen.
No,
it didn't happen.
Because most guys don't – they don't put themselves in bad situations like that.
Like, Phil Jackson's like, I won how many titles? I'm not coaching
I'm not
a bad
that.
Team. These are the guys who opted out who were there last year. Marcus Cannon, starting tackle.
Yeah.
Dont'a Hyde Tower, starting linebacker. Starting safety, Patrick Chung, Matt Lacoste, whatever, tight end. Brandon Bolden, a running back that they sometimes put it on. So, legit three main contributors – opted out, and then you mentioned Tom Brady being gone. He's not a great drafter.
No. Well, they normally don't. They don't care about draft. They're like Daryl Morey. They're moving draft picks out of here or moving back. Whatever they don't care about drafting guys.
Yeah.
They start now.
Yeah, how's that working out right now? And by the way, yeah, they're not great drafters. They're not great drafters anyway. They had 12. They had Tom Brady. Guess what? Guess who's right up there, top of the league, third in scoring this year? Tampa.
Well, Tom Brady with Chris Godwin and maybe a revitalized Gronk and all the weapons they have, and a defense who's played pretty well too for them, at least particularly the last couple weeks. I mean, it's a combination. The Patriots aren't as good in their quarterback play overall. The whole thing is different from last year.
And they're not a first-place quality team playing, and they're playing a first-place schedule. That's not going to go well for them.
Yeah, but they have Bill Belichick, so.
But it's kind of like the Texans.
That's all you need.
First-place schedule, and they're not a first-place.
Yeah, I'm a little upset with that because the Texans, I have their picks. So I'm thrilled about that.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is they're playing a first-place schedule. So even at 1-6, they're like number 5.
Oh, that's rough.
It's rough for me. I need the schedule to
Don't worry, more's coming.
I need them to start losing to the Jags.
But the good thing, the Dolphins, they're not looking to take Trevor Lawrence, so they don't even need number 1.
Oh, well, that's true. Who has multiple first-round picks at this point? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, someone who will give it up to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
But the Jets ain't giving that up, baby. Jets aren't winning a game.
No, Adam Gase is their best asset.
Yeah. Everybody's like, fire Adam Gase. Why? So I can pay him for the rest of the season?
We're already being tortured by him.
And still go 0-16? What's the point?
In fact, someone might actually try. No, we might win a game.
That's the problem. Somebody might win a game.
Yeah.
831 ESPN 97.5. I got to talk right now about my man, Doc Linville, over at Linville Plastic Surgery. It's spectacular. I'm telling you, my hair, it is so funny. He saw me I'm doing these videos. I'm doing a video with AJ, and I do one with Lance on Tuesdays and AJ on Thursdays. And he saw one of them, and he was like, dude, the hair. The hair looks great, bro. I'm like, yep. I'm telling you, it is it's a game changer. It really is. AJ works with Fred every day. The long flowing locks. Fred's got so much hair, he's putting it in a ponytail. Are you kidding? Do you look any better than a ponytail? No. So if you're looking for a great way to just look better, I mean, AJ is constantly commenting on what a handsome man Fred is, and it's in large part because of all that hair that Doc Linville helped him get with the neo-grafting. It's not surgery. It's neo-grafts. And listen, I'm telling you, it just doesn't get any easier, and it doesn't get any better. I was in the chair for about 4 hours. Fred was longer than that, but he was working the same day. That's how easy it is. I did it on Friday, working on Monday. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. If you're sick of not having hair, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It's just so flipping amazing. I posed the question, and AJ, you can answer it. Posed it earlier in the show. You could take away the Bill O'Brien era, okay? Which means...
Yes.
You know, Dwayne Brown, losing Dwayne Brown was part of that. Losing Jadeveon Clowney, the Tunsil
deal. Brandon Brooks, right?
Brandon Brooks, Ben Jones, obviously DeAndre Hopkins. All of those things you could take away. Or you could take away the Astros scandal. Which one?
The Bill O'Brien era.
You would take away the Bill O'Brien era.
Yeah, because I don't care about the scandal. The Astros have a trophy. They won. The Texans are ruined.
That will never go away. Can get out of what Bill O'Brien did.
No, you heard him. They're ruined.
They're ruined. All that matters, I mean, to me is what's your franchise, and the Texans are a disaster franchise, and I think it's going to be like 2 or 3 years before they can even compete, and they apparently have like their franchise quarterback. When does that happen? You've got a franchise quarterback in his 20s. And you're 2 or 3 years from being competitive.
Yeah,
that's a disaster situation.
That's unbelievable.
The Astros, if you're an the problem with Astros fans is they care too much what national media thinks, and they care too much what other fan bases think. Who gives a damn? You won. You're the champions. That's all that matters.
And the problem with the Texans, other than the obvious ones, like when you're a bad team, you sell off stuff because you got to recoup draft picks. You're trying to build. We talk about speaking to the Astros, and they just decide to stink for multiple years because they found this was the best way to get better. The Texans are in one of those years now. They're in a 100-loss season year now. Of course, they don't have the picks to take advantage of it, but you don't have any assets to sell off that are going to be worth anything. Who are you selling off? What high-priced players are you selling off that are going to get you anything?
There's none. There's none. Because JJ can probably get you a second if you're lucky.
Yeah. Name a guy who's outplaying his contract right now.
Laremy Tunsil is maybe playing up to it. And that's saying a lot because they overpaid him by a lot. But he's been the one piece on this team that's been like, okay, that guy's doing his job.
How much is John Weeks making?
John Weeks makes $1 million a year.
He's probably overpaid, even though he's fine.
How about Kaimi Fairbairn?
No.
How about Kaimi Fairbairn making $4 million a year? He can't kick a field goal.
Maybe you didn't read the Texans' notes, and he doesn't miss anything under 40 yards.
See?
Respect. So Tunsil's contract hasn't even kicked in yet.
So, yes, for right now, he's outplaying it.
Right now, he's $14
million. What Tyrell Adams, I pick him.
Tyrell Adams is outplaying his contract.
He's the one.
He kind of is. Deshaun's outplaying his. He's 9-8.
The current one, yeah, not the next one.
No, but he's outplaying his contract right now. Kenny Stills, Randy Collins, Zach Cunningham is piss poor right now. Eric Murray.
Zach Cunningham, he might be the worst player on the team, and they just gave him a bunch of money. He is such a disaster.
I thought he was their best defender
last year. I did too.
Yep.
I did too, and he is such a disaster. He is a net negative on that team that I would have never imagined that.
I know, right? The angles he takes, missing Aaron Rodgers yesterday, but he was responsible for the 96-yard run last week because he went and instead he goes to Adams' gap instead of his own.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It was so unbelievable.
And then instead of like actually fixing cornerback, which they've been unable to do forever, they're just like, you know what? Let's take this guy that we drafted as a cornerback, move him to safety. And safety is going to be a real strength for us. They don't have a single good safety on this team.
No, Justin Reed's playing like ass.
Justin Reed sucks. Eric Murray sucks. Lonnie Johnson sucks. All these guys suck. That was supposed to be a strength on your defense. Linebacker was supposed to be a strength. Bernardrick McKinney, before he got hurt, guess what? He won much better than Zach Cunningham.
Who builds their secondary starting at safety?
Bill O'Brien.
Who does that?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh, my gosh. Michael Thomas, Eric Murray, move Lonnie Johnson. What? Are you kidding me? That's so dumb. Will Fuller is making 10. You know what? That's okay. Whitney Merciless, how's he playing? He had a half a tackle yesterday.
David Johnson is, is there a worse starting running back in the NFL?
What, 14 for 42 is not enough for you?
I mean,
3 yards of carry.
Do you when they turn around to hand it off and it's not play action? Do you guys go, oh, damn?
Do we? Who doesn't in the city?
They actually handed it to him.
First and second down. There is no reason to give him the ball on first and second down at any point. Like consecutively. Why are you giving him the ball twice in a row?
It's crazy. Unless you're up 30, which they'll never be.
They'll never be up 30.
Don't give him the ball two times in a row.
Oh, man. But justify the contract, I guess.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's like, well, we're paying him. We got to get something out of it.
No,
don't. That's so dumb.
It's
that's
one so year. Dumb. You don't have to pay him next year.
We made that trade. We got to justify the DeAndre trade. You will never, ever, ever justify it.
In fact, you're hurting it. You should be like, well, David Johnson's hurt, so we can't. When you actually get to compare stats between him and DeAndre – particularly yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And that's with DeAndre fumbling.
And think about it. David Johnson was going up against a pretty bad defense yesterday.
Yeah.
And did nothing.
No, that was a bad defense coming in here. That was a bad defense. Watching Chase Edmonds last night.
Oh, that guy's got juice. Why did the Texans get him?
Because the Cardinals like, he's actually good.
No.
We don't want to trade him.
They're
like, well, we'll give you DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and your third string running back, Chase Edmonds. You think they would have said no?
They wouldn't have. But that means Bill O'Brien
asked for David Johnson.
Yes, he wanted David Johnson. He liked him.
I shouldn't even say, I have a feeling.
You think the Cardinals offered?
No, I think Jack Easterby has the Jesus connection with David Johnson, and I think that played more into why they asked for David Johnson than anything. But the Cardinals would have given Chase Edmonds, and then we'd be sitting here going, oh, got a nice young running back with some burst. This guy could play.
Hell, they might have given you Kenyon Drake. I don't know, but the guy they wanted to get rid of is the guy you got. The guy they were hoping you would take.
The guy they wanted to cut. The guy they were going to cut. Can you imagine David Johnson in that backfield right now? And it's not like Kenyon Drake is. Now, Kenyon Drake had a good week last week. Not so great last night.
Well, he got hurt last night. He's played pretty well this season.
He's been okay this year,
No, he's been okay. No, he actually, his mom had to tell him, hey, you're going to hit a hole tonight, aren't you? And that was the last. No, because he hadn't been. His mom told him last week before the game, hey, you're going to hit a hole today, aren't you? Yeah, mom. Okay.
It's a little disrespectful, but it worked.
It worked. No. When moms tells you to do something, what do?
You do it.
Right? Not when you're young, but when you're older, you do it. When you're young, you go, whatevs.
Well, mom was like, I want you to run into the back of your own blockers last night because he went 14 for 34.
Right. No, he was terrible. He was bad last night.
Yeah, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
It was, but the Texans did the Cardinals a favor of taking the worst running back on their roster.
Yeah. No. They were going to cut him, and they were going to have to pay him.
Yeah,
they were gonna cut him and have to pay him, and the Texans swallowed. The Texans gobbled him up.
They gobbled him up. That's right.
Wow. That's okay. Yeah.
Well,
they gobbled up his contract, is what John meant.
Oh okay. Yeah, ate the
they
contract.
Swallowed all of that contract. Yes.
Swallowed all of
they
it.
They just took it.
They choked on the contract. They're choking on it right now.
It's dripping down their chin.
All right. That's all.
Okay, we're
that's
done.
It.
We're
this
done.
Isn't
here.
The blitz.
Okay. Yeah, it's not happy hour.
This is
Listen, NFL Network's not listening right now. You can have some fun. It's okay.
Well, that's Lance's employer. We don't have to worry about that.
All right. When we come back, 713-780-3776. Let's go over some of the stuff that happened in college football weekend, boys. Next, right here. Don't go anywhere.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, whatever you got. Some thoughts, guys, just around the horn here. I'm going to start with Graham Mertz. For those of you that weren't listening a little bit earlier, Wisconsin quarterback that looks like the real deal, true freshman, had to start.
Redshirt freshman
that had to start because, well, and he's one of their highest, right?
He is the, I believe he is the highest rated quarterback to ever commit to Wisconsin, top 100 player. Now, they've had great offensive linemen commit there. In fact, they got another one that I think the kid's brother went to Penn State, decided to go to Wisconsin, and probably rightfully so because he's an offensive lineman. But yeah, highest rated quarterback to ever go there. Jack Cohn, the starter, the veteran starter, had a leg injury, so they threw in the redshirt freshman, and he was awesome on Friday.
20 of 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked twice. But he was spectacular. He was perfect in the first half. And so they've got that could be dangerous for the future. That could be dangerous. Now, he has allegedly tested positive for COVID.
Oh,
yeah.
Great timing, pal.
And the Big Ten, you got to sit for 21 days.
They're the most prohibitive.
Well,
of
that'll
them
get
all.
That'll get them through Nebraska and Purdue.
And he wouldn't practice that week, but he would be available
ready
for
at
Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, bro.
Let's go. Well, if he tests on he might have to sit that game too because that is 20 days after.
They tested him on Saturday and he tested positive.
Because so they tested, he have to sit 21 days or he can come back on 21
You have
days.
To be out of football stuff for 21 days, well, which he means he wouldn't play against Michigan either.
Yeah. 14, that would be the day he's eligible to come back.
Well, he tested positive on Saturday. I don't know how it works. If he's
clock doesn't start then?
Maybe it's a 24 hour. If he tested positive at 8 a.m. against on Saturday, and then if he tests, then does it stop at that 8 a.m. spot on Saturday morning, and
should.
Then he plays Michigan? That might be how it works.
Because 21 days would be the Friday, like that would be the 21st day, the Friday before.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so he. I guess it depends on when he tested, when they tested their guys.
Yeah.
That'll probably be the termination.
But are they going to, is they going to let him play without practicing for 3 weeks?
It depends on how bad those other quarterbacks are.
Yeah, we'll see how they do against Nebraska and Purdue. But my guess is against Michigan, they'll figure out a way to make him play.
And the kid will sit there and throw outside his dorm, And I'm sure some guys will come over and he can throw to him.
It on the hush.
I'm sure stuff will happen. Clemson had a scare.
Which is crazy because Syracuse is
they lost to Liberty at home the week before. Now Liberty's good.
Now Liberty's pretty good. They got Hugh Freeze cheating over there now,
and he'll be cheating for some SEC school at some point near really soon. Someone will hire him.
Syracuse should damn near not have a program at this point, and they actually played with him a little bit.
Yeah. Don't you have to show cause if you hire Hugh Freeze?
Well, hasn't he been out long? Well, did Liberty have to show cause? How long was he out of football?
I think they're like, what else? Liberty. They're like,
I don't know if he got a 5-year deal. Maybe I don't know, but he's been at Liberty for a couple, so he's on the track. He's gonna find a big time job because winning trumps everything.
Jerry Falwell's done worse stuff than Hugh Freeze. You think they're showing cause?
Well, at least he washed Jerry Falwell Jr. or his dad. Which one?
Junior.
They both did some crappy stuff. Yeah.
Alabama to trounce Tennessee. Dell picked that one.
Well, that was easy. 21's not enough points against Tennessee for Alabama. And Jalen Waddle got hurt in the first play, and it didn't matter.
I had under 66, landed on 65. I got pretty lucky.
Well. Oh, how sweet.
Yeah.
Notre Dame trounces Pitt and then falls in the polls because Ohio State moved ahead of them.
Ohio State's back.
Yeah.
And they did what they did to Nebraska.
Yeah. Does anybody had a – well, Justin Fields and Graham Mertz had about the same days, only Mertz was a little bit better. Fields can run, too.
And Justin Fields didn't test positive for COVID, so he had the better weekend.
Justin Fields wins.
He had the better weekend.
How about Oklahoma State beating Iowa State, boys?
Yeah, I thought that I kind of liked Iowa State in that game. Oklahoma State's not been what they were sold as.
Offensively, certainly.
And they really weren't again. I mean, their offense still doesn't look right. We were able to get a win. But the fact that someone thinks that, like the polls say, they're the sixth best team in the country, that's laughable.
Spencer Sanders was back and he was meh. And he was
dinking and dunking it around.
He's giving me some, and it wasn't my initial comment, but this person was right. I forgot I heard in a podcast. He's giving me some Felipe Franks vibes, and that's not good. Those aren't good vibes.
That's not nice.
Look
at him.
More athletic than Franks.
I don't know about that. Before Franks blew out his knee, maybe now, but Franks was okay moving around. And what does Spencer Sanders do? He's meh.
I mean, there were people saying Spencer Sanders is better than Sam Ehlinger, best quarterback in the Big 12.
Spencer Sanders was off and on last year. Now, he won newcomer of the year, but he wasn't great, and he got hurt and all those things, and he got hurt again this year. But whatever. He's okay.
Sam Ehlinger is a 9-year senior. You think Spencer Sanders is better than him? Dude's 40.
Oh.
No. He's not better than Sam Ehlinger.
No, he's not better than Sam Ehlinger, but again, Sam Ehlinger, well, it's not on Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger has been balling this year, and they're still losing.
Sorry, I can't trust a dude who's Felipe Franks 2.0. Can't do it.
I can't trust Penn State ever.
You shouldn't. Penn State, and you mentioned Wisconsin beating up Illinois. Illinois, for whatever reason, like Lovie Smith almost got him to 500 last year. So it was like, oh, Illinois is real. They're the real deal. And then everybody's like, oh, Sean Clifford's back for Penn State. What's that mean? I don't know why people thought Penn State would be good.
Now, Penn State completely outgained Indiana. That game should have been, if it wasn't for Sean Clifford, some of his mistakes, that game should have been a 3-touchdown victory if you look at the yardage. I think Indiana finished with 211 yards of total offense.
And yeah, still, Penix didn't start playing until overtime.
Yeah, in the last drive of the game. I mean, Penn State should have won that game going away, but they got Sean Clifford on their roster, so things like that don't happen. He threw a pick that set up a touchdown.
Actually, Clifford's pretty good, and the offense was pretty good, and they just, for how they pissed that game away is amazing.
Well, they should have done what Todd Gurley didn't do. They should have not scored a touchdown. I mean, Indiana was like, go right ahead. And Franklin was like, well, we kind of told him, why are you even handing the ball off? Just kneel. If the thing is we don't want to score, don't even give your young player the opportunity to screw it up. Just kneel, and the game's over. Kick your field goal and win the – but I think, were they up at the time? I forgot what – no, they were up by one. They scored a touchdown. Just kneel, and the game's over, and they didn't do that.
Yep. And then he came back and scored and got the two. Oh, man, it was just – that couldn't have been. Right. Just kneel. You're up. What else? Oh, Miami won. Congratulations, Dell.
And, you know, I watched that game and think to myself, Derrick King has over 300 yards passing. You have over 440 total yards, and you only score 19 points. How does that happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think of Miami. I don't know.
I watch them, and I don't know what they are.
Like, they should beat Virginia.
And the numbers said you should have scored more than 19 points. Now, some of that is they tried to go for two to get to 21 and didn't get it, but Derrick King was fine. They hit multiple deep balls. It was actually their best passing game of the season for him and with the deep threats, and you still only scored 19. I watched it and think, why are we here? Why are we down to watching Brennan Armstrong possibly win a game?
Yeah, and they're off this week, and North Carolina State might be the best team left on their schedule.
They got UNC the final game.
But that's at home, right?
Yeah, that'll be – North Carolina State lost their starting quarterback, and it showed against UNC this weekend. Yeah. They had to play Bailey Hockman. Honestly, Virginia Tech, which is the next game I think on the schedule, we thought that looked to be a challenge. Then they got beat by Wake Forest, but it's the ACC. Everybody
sucks except Clemson.
It's pretty much all the same. And Notre Dame's there because for 1 year, and they, like you mentioned, beat up on Pitt. Yeah, I watched that game. The whole game was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm depressed. It was a win who felt like a loss, pretty much.
North Carolina actually looked good again. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Michael Carter might be the best back I've seen this year.
He's hard to tackle. Both those guys are. They're both guys you can't get on the ground with one guy. Both are running backs.
Williams, he's like the best in the country after first contact.
Yeah, they both went for over 100 again.
And then
Javonte Williams and Michael Carter.
Michael Carter is, I'm telling you, that guy's a pro back.
They're both pro backs.
Watch Michael Carter. He's good.
North Carolina may end up with some serious regrets that they somehow lost to Florida State because the rest of their schedule, I mean, they've got Notre Dame, and, I'm not sure what Notre Dame is, but that loss is gonna haunt them, I think, because that's a pretty good team, and they just played a really, really awful game against Florida State.
Against a bad football team who the next week just got blown out by Louisville, who hadn't won a conference
yet.
So, yeah, when you look at North Carolina's schedule the rest of the way, they do have the two games in a row. They host Notre Dame and then at Miami. That's a team without the Florida State loss. You could be looking at a special year where you're probably getting beat by Clemson in the title game, but who knows?
But also look at who North Carolina's beat so far, and it's literally no one.
No one.
But we're like, oh, look at their offense. Look at Sam Howell. Look at these running backs. And we're like, wow. Well, they did that against Syracuse and Boston College.
And Virginia Tech, who we saw against Wake Forest. The thing about them is, you watch them play, and this was a bad football team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They went 7-6 last year, and the hype started going because you have your freshman quarterback, and he did so well. I'm not sure how talented they are. Like, if they see teams with even talent, how that's going to go for them. Like, Florida State's troubled. They weren't coached well. We'll see what they are this year. But man for man, they probably match up talent-wise, outside of the quarterback position. And for first half, North Carolina had nothing for him. Well, they could do nothing.
I think until Mac Brown starts getting his guys in on offensive and defensive lines,
yeah.
I think that that's kind of going to be the case. Like, Sam Howell's obviously special. Those running backs are good. But until the beefy guys are his guys, because he's such a great recruiter, if they're going to have, like you said, when they match up with even talent, it's going
to
be trouble.
Yeah, skill guys, they're easier to find, and they've been able to find them. Like you mentioned, the interior, can they block Notre Dame consistently?
Probably not.
And I don't, Miami, as much as I was talking down on them, they'll get after the passer. I don't know if they're going to be able to block those two teams consistently. That'll be their biggest problem against those two.
Yeah, Miami's toughest game is going to be North Carolina.
Yeah, right? Well, at home, yeah, that'll be tough. The problem with Miami is you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, I don't – as well as De'Aaron King played and he only scored 19 points, you can go to Virginia Tech and lose. That's what the ACC is. Yep. You can go week to week. You don't know what you're going to get out of all those teams outside of Clemson.
Did you think – back to Indiana for a second, did you think Penix was in with the 2-point?
Probably not.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
He could have gotten in if we didn't get a down-the-line shot, if the ball had crossed the plane on the angle as he was heading towards the sideline. But, you know, the tip of the ball hit out of bounds and then bumped up against the pylon.
Right.
So he didn't – if that's the only angle
– I'm not sure.
He probably didn't get in.
Was good.
Well, I don't care. Penn State lost. I'm happy about that.
You're happy if Penn State loses.
Yeah. Why would I be happy about that?
See, that's why Elmer hates you, and I can't blame him.
That's fine. That's part of what college football is. You take joy in other people's failures. And that's not new. And if Elmer's upset, don't lose to Indiana. Don't lose.
No,
your top 10 team shouldn't lose to Indiana when you outgain them by how much, by the yardage you did.
No, that's kind of true. That's kind of true. Hey, I want to talk right now about the how challenging it is to hire. When you're running a business and you got to find the right people, it's so hard to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time. There's just too many applicants. Always, you post a job, and how many? And you're like, wow. And then you got to look and surf through all of this stuff. Well, ZipRecruiter does all that work for you. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, within the first day. That is so hard. It is so hard. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. All of you out there can go to ZipRecruiter.com/John. That's ZipRecruiter.com/John. It's the smartest way to hire, and you can start for free. ZipRecruiter.com/John. It is the simplest, fastest, smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/John.
ESPN. 97.5.